series. Today is the final message. I'm going to wrap up building healthy families. So I hope this message series has been a blessing to all of you in the last 2 months to see that God uses families to enact His will on earth. You see, when it comes to the Christian faith and being more than conquerors, living out our identity is not an individual self-assignment, but rather it is a collective group coming together, called out by God to enact His will. And I'm excited because next year, our church theme is going to be Christ as the Lord of our house. We're going to have a stronger emphasis on the family. You know, I believe God uses family throughout history to enact His will on earth. We see that through the promise of God made to Abraham in Genesis 15. It involved his whole family. The whole nation of Israel, every tribe, young and old, conquered the promised land together. In the New Testament, it was the church family that went forth to fulfill the Great Commission of God's purposes to the world. Now, I'm looking forward to that, and I want you guys to pray and think about that in your own families, that Home of Christ is going to be a church that is focused on the family from young and old. Every single ministry is going to be focused on the family, and I'm really excited for that. But next month, before we get into next year's theme, it's going to be dedicated to missions. I just want to make a quick note. I've invited a guest speaker in the front line of Indonesia, a missionary all the way from Indonesia who's going to be streaming in via video to speak to us a special message. In Indonesia, over 90% are from Muslim backgrounds. So you can imagine the type of hardship, persecution that this missionary faces. But he's been seeing some crazy things that are happening because of what God is doing. And he's got a special message for us. And it's not your typical type of message. When we think about missions, we think about, oh, how we can stir our hearts for the Great Commission. But this missionary, he's going to be sharing with us how hard it is to be a missionary. The weaknesses of a missionary. How many missionaries have given up on the field. And how we, through prayer and support, can support him and the work in Indonesia. So I don't want you to miss that. It's going to be a very rare opportunity. Not many churches can get a frontline speaker in the heart of Indonesia, in the slums of Jakarta, working with drug lords, prostitutes, to come and speak at the church. So we don't have the privilege yet to bring him over here, but he's going to be streaming in on video, and he's got a special message for us. So I really encourage all of you to make it out here. I don't want the video to be going out there and there for privacy reasons and for safety reasons. So I encourage all of you to come, especially for those who are tuning in, if you can make it, to come here in person. Now, before we get into that, I've got an important message to wrap up our series on building healthy families. And today I want to talk to you about a heart for the home, a heart for Home of Christ. Here at the Home of Christ, we want to all strive to be a community that is deeply committed to one another. To be deeply committed to one another. A community where each and every one of us has a heart for this house. The house in which God has placed all of us from different walks of life. I believe your presence here today is not by mistake, nor for those who are tuning in. But there is a greater purpose as to why you have been called here to the Home of Christ. And so I hope today's message will impact you and the way you view church and how growing forward, you can have a heart for this home. And ultimately, Home of Christ, our English ministry, our Chinese ministries, will be stronger and will be healthier for God's glory. So let's pray before I get in. And the message titled is Heart for the Home, Heart for the Home. God, our Father, we thank you that we're able to gather here, stir our hearts to love you, stir our hearts to love one another, to love this church in which you have placed us. Lord, even though many of us come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, we have past pains and traumas, yet, Lord, you bring us here for a greater purpose, and that is to know you, to love you, and to receive healing from you. So, Lord, help us in this time to open up our hearts to receive what you have to say. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it was a weekday afternoon. I came back from my college classes in my first year of college. I went to the garden, and I said hi to my dad. And my dad lets off this massive sigh, and he says, "Ben, you treat our home like a hotel." Ben, you treat this home like a hotel. In Chinese, it's like, 你以为我们家是旅馆啊? Right? That's what my dad said to me. Now, some of you parents who have college students or teenagers at home, you can immediately identify with that statement. My response was, Dad, what do you mean? But deep down, I knew exactly what my dad meant. It was the year of my life where I was hanging out with my friends all the time. I was dating. I was working part-time. And I would only come home to eat and go to sleep. My mom was a maid. She cleaned the house, folded my clothes, took out the cups on my table. And when I needed a place to rest, I would go home. So this went on for nearly a year of my first year of college. And it got to the point where my dad had enough and he had a chat with me. Why do you treat our home like a hotel? Now, did my dad have a point in having this chat with me? I think he did have a point reflecting after all these years. When you're out all the time and you come home late at night, past midnight to just sleep, to my dad and mom, that wasn't acceptable. They wanted me to take ownership of the house, to see what they needed help with. They wanted me to contribute to the laundry, the dishes, maybe even the rent. They wanted me to check in on their needs, spend quality, fruitful conversation with them, being committed to the family. So I thought, that must be easy. I'll just spend a little bit more time at home. So I started to shift a bit of my priorities, and I stayed home for a bit longer. I helped out where I could, and I thought I was on the right path in being committed to the house. My dad then pulled me aside after 1 month and said, Ben, though you're physically here, your heart is not here. I was like, what? First you complain about me, and now when I am home and helping out, my heart is not here. 虽然你在这边,可是你的心不在这边. I was like, what? Can you imagine my frustration? What more do you want? And like, heart surgeon, take out my heart and plant it in the home. My dad was right. When I was home, I wasn't really home because I was locked up in my room talking to my girlfriend, Ruth. So you see where my dad was coming from. But as I grew more mature and as I grew in my faith, thinking back to my attitude, my actions back in my first year of college, my dad was completely right that I did treat our home like a hotel. And even during the times that I was home, my heart was in a different place. Now, this behavior of mine extended also to the way I treated my local church. Now, as much as I hate to admit it, as painful as it is to say it, reflecting on all these years, I also treated my church family like a hotel. Check in, check out, only use people and resources within the church when I needed it. Otherwise, I was out the door as quickly as I came in. I had commitment issues. At the root of it, I had commitment issues both at home and at the church. Now, this experience for many of us is not actually uncommon. Some of you may have been there in your own lives, in your own personal families, or even in the life of your local church. In fact, research shows that it's a general trend in many churches today where people are starting to not commit to the church. Why? Because what we've seen throughout the decades is that people have moved away from an integrated culture that depended and needed one another to an ever-increasing individualistic society that presents one's own needs first and foremost, me, myself, and I. And unfortunately, the church has been influenced by this mentality. My needs, my wants are what's most important. And we see this upward trajectory towards uncommitment to the local church. So what inevitably happens is that we start to have this buffet mentality when it comes to the church. I pick and choose what I want. I attend this church for the preaching. I attend this church for the worship. I attend this church for the fellowship. I attend this church for the service projects. And this has become the norm in many Christians today. Why is this the case? Why has uncommitment to the local church been on an upward trajectory throughout the decades? Well, church experts, people who look at these stats, will tell you there are various reasons. And maybe some of you have reasons within yourself as well, personal reasons. But I want to say one of the most common things I've heard throughout the years of my life, and I'll retell a story that I had with a lady I came across many years ago. that she had this buffet-style mentality in the Christian life. And it went like this. I once bumped into a lady and I asked her, "What church do you attend?" She replied to me by saying, "I attend God's church." I was like, "Wow, that's a great name, God's church. Where's that located?" She then replied to me by saying, "It's everywhere." I was like, "Wow, how many campuses do you have?" Now, I obviously knew what she was saying, but I wanted to press into her statement a bit more because I knew the underlying root of her idea is I don't have to go to church to worship God. And then finally, she responded to me by saying this, "I don't belong to a particular church. I can worship God anywhere." You see, bingo, that was the answer I was expecting her to share from the very start of our conversation. She could have just shared that with me. Now, I remember, even in my own life as a teenager, I used to say that to my parents. One day, I was so sick of church politics, of being hurt at church, the hypocrisy I saw in so many people at church. I came home one day and told my parents, "That's it, I've had enough. I can worship God anywhere." This has been the idea and thought process for many Christians. Now, think about this. On the surface level, it sounds right. God is not limited within these four walls. We can worship God anywhere. We are all saved by grace through faith in Christ. We can follow Jesus anywhere at any place. So what exactly is wrong with this statement? Well, in my understanding, I find that this statement is not very helpful because it doesn't follow the overall theme and commands of Scripture. If you study the Bible, it's all about the collective assembly, the gathering of people. As I said before, God enacts His will through families, through tribes, through the nation of Israel. For example, when we studied the book of Joshua last year, what happened? It was the whole family, young and old, conquering together. If we look at the New Testament, the early church in Acts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals. Everything in the Bible was done within the context of the body of believers. Well, you may ask, why is this so important? Why does it need to be in the context of a whole assembly? I think the biggest reason is this. God puts us in a collective group, an assembly of believers, to give us a foretaste of what heaven will be like. To give us a foretaste of what heaven will be like when young and old, everybody is gathered together in the presence of God worshiping Him. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, John the Apostle, he sees this great vision of what heaven will be like in the future. In Revelation chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. In verses 9 to 12, the Apostle John sees this vision and he says, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" You see this vision that is put before us? Four times in these couple of verses, the word "they" were being used. They were clothed in white. They were shouting. They fell before the throne. They sang. It's referring to the saints, past, present, future, the angels, all coming together as a collective group, people who have been called out by God to worship Him as a group. So I believe in preparation as Christians, as believers today, for what is to come in the future, we need to prepare ourselves whilst we're on earth to worship God collectively in a group, in the assembly of believers. And I think we ought to do our job in preparing for that time. You see, I believe the things that we do here on earth is only preparing us for what's to come in the future. And so in the meantime, whilst you and I are still here on earth, I want to talk to you guys about having a heart for this home, having a heart for Home of Christ, how to cultivate your heart to commit to one another, especially if this is what heaven will be like. So the first point I want to talk to you guys about is this. To have a heart for the home, you need to be present, be known, and be active. To be present, to be known, and to be active. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, it's a very common passage that is used to encourage believers within the context of community. It says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." Verse 25, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." In the context of Hebrews, the people were facing great persecution because of their faith in Christ. Their lives, their livelihoods were at stake. So every time they met together, it was high risk. They were scared. It was hard to meet up. But God still gives this command to them. Do not neglect to meet together. Think about this with me. If God did not excuse the early believers, even though they may be martyred for showing up to church, then really, what excuse do we have by not being present, being known, and being active? You see, when we are present, we are showing up and we are showing people that we care. We care about this home. When we are being known, it shows that we are making effort to be encouraged and to encourage others. When we are active, it means that we understand the commands of Scripture, where in the New Testament, it tells us over 50 times the command of one another, love one another, encourage one another, forgive one another. How can this be possible if we're not active in the home? Now, some of you may ask, well, Ben, I get you. But are you advocating that we be at every single meeting at church? Every function, every single service that the church holds. Some of you may be thinking that. No, that's not what I'm advocating at all. All right, I know that's not possible. But let me lay down a principle for us to think through. If you're absent from a church meeting or church, and others do not know where you are, but they're not surprised by your absence, you're probably going down the wrong track. If you can miss church without missing church in your heart, then I believe something is missing. Same applies for your home as well, family life. Does that make sense? Let's say, I'll use Thomas as an example. He doesn't mind. Brother Thomas, he's missed church for a couple of weeks to a month because he's been busy with his garden. No one really notices Thomas's absence because, you know, in the past, we all know Thomas has a thing for gardens. He likes gardening. He does the Foster City Library garden. People aren't really surprised when he's in and out of church. He comes back to church one time because there's fellowship meal, because he likes to eat. But no one really says anything to Thomas. In Thomas's heart, he knows he's missed church. But he's at peace with that, because all he can think about is his garden. Now you see where I'm getting at? To have a heart for the home, you need to be present. And the hardest bit is that you need to be known. That's the hardest bit, to willing to share yourself to others. And then from that place, as you share yourself to others, you need to be active participant. You know, in my first year of college, I'll tell you something, I really struggled with church. Growing up as a pastor's son, it was really hard to be at my dad's church. Because, you know, church is messy, right? People hurt you, people say things. And I remember as I was a kid, probably around 7 or 8, I remember one of the church aunties and uncles coming up to me, pulling me aside and asking me this question. Now, normally when you're 7 or 8, what kind of question do people ask? Well, you know, have you done your homework? Or do you play violin? Or, you know, those are the kind of questions that you ask. They came up to me and goes, "Can you tell us the time when your parents fought at home? Can you tell us the time when your parents fought at home?" You know why they asked me that question? Because church is messy. They wanted to use my response to get to my parents. So I grew up, I hated church as a pastor's son because expectations, people asking me these questions when I was a kid about my parents to try to dig some dirt out from my parents, to attack my parents at church. This was the things that I was growing up at church. So I hated the church, to be honest. I wanted to leave the church. But it was the Holy Spirit that was working behind the scenes and was speaking into my heart and says, Ben, be present, be present. Make yourself known. Talk to those older brothers and sisters at church. Be willing to participate. Don't give up. Don't give up because I'm faithful. And it was because of that, that is the reason why as a pastor's son, I'm still at church today and I'm still serving. It happens to all of us, I know. We can be hurt by church members. Church is real messy because we're all broken people, right? We're all broken people coming together and we're going to have past pains and past hurts and we're going to be sharing that, and there's going to be things that are said that hurt one another. But trust me, as the Holy Spirit works in all of us, you see your life start to transform and you start to see that, hey, you know, you start to love the church. Because, yeah, you may face pain and hurt from church members, but think about it. If your parents annoy you, or if your parents hurt you, or your brothers and sisters hit you, right, you're not going to pack up your bags and leave home. Right? Same as the church family. In the New Testament, God says, those who do my will are our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers. We're a church family. Yes, you know, I may say things. Maybe what I'm saying now is going to annoy you and hurt you. But if we make an intention to be present, to be active, to be known, we start to see God working out our hearts like no other. But also, I want to say at the same time, all right, I want to make it clear. Coming to church every week doesn't make you a Christian. I want to make that clear too. Just because you come to church, you get a gold star by Pastor Ben and you get a stamp of approval. No, it doesn't mean that at all. You could come to church, wear a suit, have a tie. You could do all the right things, but you could be a completely bad husband at home. You could be a completely bad testimony in the workplace, right? I've seen too many times people come to church and yet there's someone different and they're not helping people outside and they're very selfish and a lot of people stumble because of these Christians at church. I just want to make that clear. I'm not saying that those who come to church are Christians, all right? Like A.W. Tozer, a famous pastor once said, right? If you stay in a garage, right, it doesn't make you a car, right? So coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, all right? Following Christ, loving God, loving people makes you a Christian. But how can you love people when you're in the privacy of your room, all right? Second, to have a heart for this home, care about what's happening at your church. That's the second point. Care about what's happening at your church. You see, the greatest temptation that we all face today is selfishness. If you don't agree, you probably haven't served church lunch or dinner. You haven't driven a car. You haven't been to Costco before. We're very selfish people. And I'm speaking for myself here. You know, every time we have a church dinner and there's Popeyes, the temptation is this, to be selfish and take the best portion for myself. You know what that is? The dark meat. The drumsticks and the thighs. Stuff the kids, all right? They can have the white meat, the one that no one wants, all right? And I'm not the only person. You know why? Because last time when Thomas and I were serving Popeyes, you know what happened? There was a bucket full of breast meat. No one goes for the breast meat. Why? Of course, it's not nice. But if you keep taking the drumsticks and the thighs, what happens? Someone ends up with the breast meat, all right? Has to eat the hard, chewy, dry, cardboardish meat. We're naturally inclined to only think of ourselves, right? What we can benefit from this or that. And what we do is we take that mentality to the life of our local church. Well, this ministry doesn't concern me, so I couldn't care less. I don't need to pray or help out in this ministry because it doesn't concern me. You know, I've met people like that, and I get real upset when people say to me, Ben, I'm the last to know about anything that's happening at this church. No one tells me anything. No, think about it. If you truly care about church and the ministries at church, when you truly have a heart for this home, you start to care about everything that is happening within this home. Because we know at the root of it, We're family. We are all interconnected to one another. We are joined to this body of Christ. And because we are joined to this body of Christ, we need to show care and concern to one another. You know, the church in Corinth was a church that was real messy. It was a church that had its up and downs. Some would say it was one of the messiest churches in the early century. But the Apostle Paul, he encourages them by saying this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 21 and verses 27, Paul uses this analogy of the human body and says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the whole body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And jumping to verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. We are all part of the body of Christ. That's why we do things together. That's why we don't take the Lord's Supper in the privacy of our room. That's why we don't baptize ourselves when we're in the shower, right? We do that in public. That's why we celebrate events together. We are interconnected. There's actually no room for selfishness and be like, oh, just because this thing doesn't concern me, then I don't want any part of it. Let me give you an example in the life of our church. And I like to give honor where honor is due, right? 2 weeks ago, Auntie Emily, one of our church aunties, we were on the phone. We were talking about some church stuff. And then later half of the conversation, she starts to turn her focus on getting to know all the young adults one by one. Their stories, what brought them to church, their life circumstances, where they're at in their faith. Started to ask me one by one. Honestly, I got sick of the conversation. It was late at night, my baby was screaming. But she cared. These young adults don't really concern her, right? She's part of the adult ministry. But you see her heart? Ask one by one the young adults. And I was thinking, oh man, I better know all the young adults to give her an answer. One by one. She wasn't thinking, what ministries can I benefit? Or what ministries can bring recognition to me? It was others' focus. You see, a healthy and committed member that has a heart for the home comes to serve, not to be served. You see, like Jesus, right? He came to serve us. He came to serve us, to get on our grounds, to think of us. We need to have that same mentality, to provide, to think and to care for others and not have this consumer mentality. Third and final point, having a heart for the home means being rooted and planted in the house of God. Being rooted and planted in the house of God. The psalmist in Psalms 27, he describes this feeling in his spiritual journey when it comes to the house of God. In Psalms 27, it says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Let me read that out again. The one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. You know, but to live in the house of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord. To dwell means to settle down, to make a place your home. It is to establish, to be established in this place. It is to put your roots down and being settled here. Being established is to not only settle in, but to begin forming relationships with those around you. It's a decision to commit yourself to the well-being of this house. Today, if God has placed you at this church, if you want to call this church your home church, I believe it's not by mistake. There's a reason why you're in this house today. I believe God may be putting roots in this place, putting roots down for you in this place so you can finally settle and care about the well-being of the house of God. And if God is stirring that in your heart, then you can get a membership application form. Then you need to commit yourself to form those relationships. Commit to the well-being of this house, whether that's offering your best to the Lord, your time, your efforts, your resources, your heart posture and worship, your attitude, everything. Start in these places. Put your roots down and settle in to the local church where God has placed you. Now, for those of you who have rented before in your life, you know exactly where I'm going with this analogy. Student apartments, maybe when you first arrive from China or Taiwan, wherever it may be, when you rent, you know it's very hard to set down your roots, right? When you rent, you just pay them your monthly bills. Even if there's something wrong with the house, what do? You call the landlord and go, fix my pipe, fix the garden, call Thomas to do the garden, whatever it may be. But when you buy a house, what happens there? You start to take ownership, right? You start to take ownership of the house. When the pipes are down, or when anything is broken or a bit messy, you don't call your landlord, right? You start to go, I need to take ownership of this house. I need to care about what's happening. And I need to know that, hey, these things, you know, no one else is going to fix for me. But I need to start fixing myself. I need to start putting in the effort to see these things be fixed and to grow. You know, when I first came, I was on a special working visa from Australia. And this working visa is every 2 years. Then you have to leave the country and then renew the working visa. So I thought this visa is great, right? Every 2 years, I get to go out of the country. I get to, you know, visit my family and friends, and I get to come back, and I'm still able to work at the church. Pastor Kenneth pulled me aside one day, and he goes, Ben, you need to set down roots here in this place. I was like, what do you mean? You know, I'm here. I'm renting. I got two cars, right? You know, what do you mean by saying? He goes, you need to apply to be a citizen here. I was like, really? No. He goes, Ben, when you do that, you're setting roots in this place. You're showing people that you care, your relationships. And I thought about this for quite some time. So you know, I really agree with Pastor Kenneth in this. That's why I proved to him I had a baby here. Now, this is a joke. So as I wrap it up, practical ways to start cultivating your heart. Your attendance matters. And your attendance is not so that you can become a better Christian or you can get some gold star of approval. No. But in your attendance, you allow others to encourage you. You allow yourself to be known and to be loved. Second, care about the ministries of the church. From young to old, we have our Chinese congregation. We have those living in Linton Garden. We have our youth ministry. We have our young adult ministries. We have outreach mission organizations we support. Operation Dawn, Bayshore Christian Ministries. We have Indonesian missionaries that we support. We have North Campus. We have a campus in the North Bay, in San Mateo, and they're growing as well. We have so many ministries that we can care and think and pray for. And I want to leave you in the second point with this statement. Ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. I sound like John F. Kennedy, right? Last but not least, having a heart for God's house is setting roots in the local church where God has placed you. If you believe God has placed you here, this is a place where you can be discipled and be discipled to those around you. So as I finish up, may we all have a heart for the home, because ultimately, as we have a heart for this home, it prepares us for the home to come. Let's pray.